with you. Norma's sitting up here trying to figure how she can get these off her neck without me noticing. Because she said, "You are frying my flowers." Touche. Oh, men have to deal with these women.
Continuing, however, being as how I have nothing else to do of worthy nature, by your opinion, I have no time for you either. For under the assumption just offered, I need to get in gear and find other players for the cast of this play. It is desired by ones here to simply cancel any gathering at all. No, we can't do that, can we? We have prepared, gathered everything, and ones are coming to this gathering from great, great distances. The thoughtlessness of one is not going to negate the value of that which we will set forth. It is time to test, and that means we must take the test, and we will not, I promise, be found flunking. You have to take back your constitutional rights. You have to make your most headway at this time, right in the courts of corruption. The Constitution says you can do it for yourselves. Go do it. If a power of attorney works legally to allow for another to serve all your business needs, adoption needs, agreement needs, etc., then a power of attorney will constitutionally work to have anyone you choose stand in for you in a courtroom, or you can stand for yourself. They will try to throw you out of the courtroom, but constitutionally you have the right, and it is time you separated, where possible, from attorneys and get on with your own responsibility of tending self and self's own requirements. But you need help in setting forth documents in order to get them accepted. You will be amazed, however, at the wide lawful requirements of your legal system to accept your paperwork. In many areas with ones of our friends and colleagues, there is ample ammunition to use in your paper cannon. Gather together and get it done. George Green. I would suggest George Green has blundered badly, at least that is, unless US&P is actually in more collusion than at first perceived, or has been acting as fraudulently as has Green and his attorneys. A silent secret agreement was made by George with US&P. However, it is now obvious, or another lie has been filed with a court of bankruptcy, for George has gone bankrupt with the publishers of America West, in which he lists his settlement agreement amount outstanding. This is fraud in one place or the other, but in result, both. How could this happen? Well, George thought that a settlement had been reached and signed between Eckers and US&P. Oops. Nothing has been decided, and there is not a single word from legal parties or US&P in weeks. It would appear a good avenue of approach, since Green also testified in court under oath in Nevada, that he is a multimillionaire five times over. Now, which is it? And do you actually need a dozen attorneys to point this out? Well, I suppose so, for it seems not one of them has noticed the conflicting information offered under oath. Eckers have been totally destroyed at the hands of these people, yet US&P's involvement was actually as quite innocent bystanders at the time of first contact with Green. The original legal contract was against Green's, and America West's. I wonder how Mr. Binder will actually feel about this turn of events. Will he be placed in the further position, as will their attorney Buchanan, by lying for Green? I believe there is still enough good in the persons within the system to hear, and some will even be brave enough to rule justly. We will demand a jury in all things entered upon, and Eckers are a prime example upon which and through which to test every facet of the little man without funds system. Mr. Green, as publisher and distributor, I should have said the Greens, as publisher and distributor, were to clear every contact with original sources. The journals were not and are not novels or books. They are ongoing, regular, dated reviews and offerings of what is already out there. This work is very simply to put together valid and on-point material that is missed by almost all of the populace. They did that with dozens, we assume, of writers. George Green told us that Binder was a seminar buddy and things were fine. Does it appear that things were actually fine? Since the books in point only offer positive and appreciative input regarding Walter Russell's work and Walter Russell himself, do you actually think they would have been opposed if contacted to further the work? I don't, because truth has nothing to do with source. It is. If Walter could and did get his information from higher source, is not Dharma able to do likewise? I see some 120 volumes and 200 papers to suggest that she does. It still does not matter. The work is not, nor ever was, by the writer, to make personal gain from any of the work. The theft of $350,000 in gold coins from Dave Overton and Phoenix Institute proves that gain was certainly in the minds of the Greens. At the time of the holding, as Green now says, for security, Green was an active member of the board of directors and an officer of said institute, having laid the plans for the institute, the program, and did, in fact, serve as the one who brought parties into the program. Did he, as he now claims of others, know he was setting up a trap? He was the authority and told everybody he touched how much of an authority. Now for something else for you ones to ponder. Ray Ellen Rusbacher's contacts were with George Green in the very beginning and right now. Is it possible that George Green was always an agent of some kind for the adversary? The claims among the seminar gatherers is that he worked for Naval Intelligence, the same claimed team which Rusbacher's claim affiliation. He also was claimed to be CIA. And somehow he got $5 million. I just bring these things up for your attention. Anything is possible. Perhaps that is why Rusbacher and now Edie Koenig are so sure that the Phoenix Institute is some kind of government affiliation. Well, facts prove otherwise, and Dharma has this to say about it. If so, the government is the poorest employer in the world. If they paid, and they may well have done so, they paid George Green's. We know that Desiree received a monthly check from the feds, which only George seemed to know about. George and his attorneys claim liable and lies from us. Oh, of the points, about 16, of George's last declaration, all of them were total fabrication, outright lies. Now George's attorney, David Horton, knows those are lies, and he not only knows this lying to go to court, he not only allows this lying to go to court, but he helps make them up. Works with George Abbott, one already disciplined by the Bar Association for lying and drunkenness, and presents atrocious suits in which they involve everyone and anyone. Just pick up a passing stranger and sue him. They are particularly upset over possible exaggerations, and they claim outright lies. No, there has only been truth written in these encounters. Possibilities remain possibilities. But where there is much smoke, look for the fire. Remember, George Green was in cahoots with Jason Brent, who publicly advocates the killing off of the old, the poor, the infirm, and the stupid.
I'm particularly disturbed about Leon. What about Esther? She certainly fits the category of infirm and elderly. Is it so hard to open eyes and minds and see? I guess so. I guess so. Go on.
I'm sorry for pointing it out, but this man and wife still claim me as a spokesman to them, that I went with them to Nevada and left Dorma. Well, it wasn't me. Then who was it? Well, I've heard of Croton, or Proton, Atalon, and of course the big one, Sananda. I don't think so, but I don't limit the Christ from speaking to whom he chooses. I judge by the actions and the writing, and so far it seems there is not a trace to be found of a Christ being of truth and light. Are we going to fight this in the press? Well, Green, Abbott, Horton, Perry, Fort, et al. Already have placed the lies in the Associated Press. Again, not one single word of truth or fact. Mr. Abbott brags and prides himself in his journalistic background and that he has, quote, the ear and pen of any press outlet, especially the Associated Press, through Brandon Riley of his local area. He laid that on Eckers immediately upon their arrival for a court-ordered deposition in which Abbott called the court for rulings all day, each day for 3 days, even to try to get the CLC, Dixon, excluded from the sessions. I would guess his, Abbott's, latest escapade will embarrass him over that act. Now, for he has included Mr. Dixon in his latest suit against the masses of named and unnamed parties. By making him party to this last filed suit, automatically involves Dixon in the ongoing filings. I guess so. AP headlines have been clandestinely placed around the world, even to involving ones who have no involvement. That garbage used to be left to the tabloids, but no longer readers. The controlled media and press are now nothing but tabloid misinformation. The judge made a decided ruling, direct and non-confusion. Quote, give the gold back to Dave Overton. Have they? No. They, including Fort, Abbott, Horton, and Green, claim they have right to the gold and have it parked in the Supreme Court for decision. Every time it looks as if the gold may be in question, they file another set of garbage documents. If you think you have the best legal system in the world, you had better be looking again, carefully. Dave Overton has sent his own petition and has yet to even get a response to his letters. Maybe someone could help him petition legally for himself. He has many attorneys who wish to help him for about $350,000. The value of the assets. Sick? Well, you didn't treat the disease before it took the host and killed it. You. How did this come to pass? It has come to pass the same way all things atrocious come to pass, by good men doing nothing. The plan has been to misinform, disinform, and to prevent information flowing to the people. You are trained according to a specific plan, and that plan is all but finalized. It continues to pass because you act not knowing what might be recourse and listening to the very brain-dead or brain-trained or brain-drained ones who are in worse shape than are you. But you get there. It is intended that you get there, so you will do so. I think it most important to interrupt the above chain of thought to present what is well known and has been available all along, but you didn't notice. When I began to write about Bertrand Russell, I was attended, but not very greatly. No one rushed forth to dig out all there is to know about Bertrand Russell, even though Nora has covered the family quite well as to lineage. But you don't show much interest, however. It is time you do show interest, for it does indeed matter. I know that you would rather hear another episode of the Monarch Project and Kathy O'Brien, because it deals with those people in politics today. Well, we have all that also, and we'll get around to it. One outstanding idiot bastard politician who was the owner of Monarch sex slave Kathy is Byrd. you know, the one you pay hundreds of dollars an hour just in salary, who is keeping all work in the Senate at dead standstill. Well, he certainly is historically about as cruel and evil a man as ever walked your place. But he is only one of hundreds of thousands who inhabit your government, make unlawful laws, and have destroyed your nation. But how? Let us look at the one who came to have power enough to pull this dirty deal off for Satan. Commander, are you sure you want me to go to the rest of the 16 pages?
Mm-hmm. You can get somebody else to read. Brent can spell you off.
Well, I'll go till I fall.
Go at least until as far as I explain bastard. That is a very legitimate term, and I've put it in here. And if you want to move my explanation up to where I first use it in the document, that's fine, to be editorially correct. That is a very valid, legitimate term, and these have no legitimate fathers. Please understand that. You of God have legitimate fatherhood.
Age of Treason by Dr. R. Swinburne Clymer, The Humanitarian Society. This book was put to press in 1959 and represents a compiled research review by the above-named author. It was published, if that be the correct term, by the Humanitarian Society, Quakertown, Pennsylvania. I apologize, but we have no further information, not even a zip code. I would share with you a chapter regarding Russell and his following Fichte, and perhaps you will be able to discern how and when things got completely out of hand. You have to, while reading this, remember that the Protocols of Zion, the Communist Manifesto, the Nazi Manifesto, all Zionist, Khazarian, Antichrist marching orders were already in play and were just starting to make giant strides across the world. The Holy Bible was the most rewritten and erroneous book presented by this evil bunch. Religion, readers, is the most political tool of all known tools and is now in the hands of the adversary. Part of the reason for offering this information is to point out how one such as the local, now infamous, Jew Jason Brent Berkowitz of Tehachapi could come up with such considered outrageous attitudes and projections as he presented to the elite men's high IQ society for problem solving for the world. That is a major topic of conversation here, and a matter which needs action by divinely oriented and just people everywhere. The suggestions are against the very fiber of being of your nation under God. However, everything he presents has its history in fact. Heading: The Greatest Danger Ever Known, Confronting You, Your Loved Ones, and the Entire Race, 1959. Imagine yourself becoming conscious you are gradually losing your manhood, that your mind is rapidly deteriorating so that you are no longer able to think clearly, unable to plan your future actions, that your resistance is becoming so weak you are no longer master of actions. In short, you are rapidly developing into a moron, a robot, a zombie, readily subject to the dictates of others. Imagine further that your beloved children's mental development is being retarded, that their eyesight is far from normal, that in every respect there is apparent a retrograding influence away from the highly evolved human toward that of the moron. A madman's dream, you answer. The nightmare of fearmongers. Is it? Give us a few moments of your attention while we prove our point and awaken you to reality. To begin with, turn several pages following, and you will find there reproductions of pages 50 and 51 of the 1953 from Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society. Read carefully. You will quickly realize that detailed plans were formulated long ago by the enemies of mankind for this very purpose. awakened to the fact that these plans have actually been tried on millions of human beings, that practically every one of them is being practiced right here in America. At this very moment, you and your family may unknowingly be ingesting some of these drugs in your food and water that gradually all but the very few, especially of the white race, are being made the victims. Who is the authority of these statements? Not we, but the men and women now engaged in one type or another of these diabolical practices and those planning to become so engaged. Learn how you may protect yourselves and your loved ones. Page 50, from the impact of science on society. Fish laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will, so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. But in his day, this was an unattainable ideal. What he regarded as the best system in existence produced Karl Marx. In future, such failures are not likely to occur where there is dictatorship. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so. A totalitarian government with a scientific bent to do things that to us would seem horrifying. And the Nazis were more scientific than the present rulers of Russia and were more inclined toward the sort of atrocities that I have in mind. Hatton has a comment here. He says, but in both instances, the inducers and the enforcers were from the same parasitic flukes. They were said, I do not know with what truth, to use prisoners in concentration camps as material for all kinds of experiments, some involving death after much pain. If they had survived, they would probably have soon taken to scientific breeding. Any nation which adopts this practice will, within a generation, secure great military advantages. The system, one may surmise, will be something like this. Except possibly in a governing aristocracy, all but 5% of males and 30% of females will be sterilized. The 30% of females will be expected to spend the years from 18 to 40 in reproduction in order to secure adequate cannon fodder. As a rule, artificial insemination will be the preferred to the natural method. The unsterilized, now apparently that's the end of the page, just ran out there. Here's page 51. The unsterilized, if they desire the pleasures of love, will usually have to seek them with sterilized partners. Sires will be chosen for various qualities, some for muscle, others for brains. All will have to be healthy, and unless they are to be the fathers of oligarchs, they will have to be of a submissive and docile disposition. Children will, as in Plato's Republic, be taken from their mothers and reared by professional nurses. Gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebs would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. The Aztec kept a domesticated...
Hello.
The Aztecs kept a domesticated alien tribe for purposes of cannibalism. Their regime was totalitarian. To those accustomed to this system...
I might interrupt there and tell you that that was really an alien tribe. One of the few true statements. Go on, please.
To those accustomed to this system, the family, as we know it, would seem as queer as the tribal and totem organization of Australian Aborigines seems to us. Freud would have to be rewritten, and I incline to think that Adler would be found more relevant. The laboring class would have such long hours of work and so little to eat that their desires would hardly extend beyond sleep and food.
This is exactly what they do in the Monarch program. The little girls are put through hard labor. They do the hard work. And then they are physically and emotionally continually abused. This is their method of training. Cattle prods, all of stun guns. Pain. This splits off personalities. You will always have a dysfunctional person with multiple disorders of personality. So that in the instance of pain, the one that copes with the pain will take over and cope with it. And you will have different triggering points in hypnotic trance or just flat buttons to be pushed to bring out a different personality. That's exactly what they're talking about here. So you can imagine what your little offspring would be taken into the system. They would be brain controlled in every way. And it would be for hard labor, or it would be to go to war. Gun fodder. Please.
The upper class, being deprived of the softer pleasures, both by the abolition of the family and by the supreme duty of devotion to the state, would acquire the mentality of ascetics. They would care only for power, and in pursuit of it would not shrink from cruelty.
They will look exactly like birds. White-haired politician. There is nothing about the man that suggests honor, integrity. He looks exactly like he is. Effeminate, pale politician. Evil.
By the practice of cruelty, men would become hardened, so that worse and worse tortures would be required to give the spectators a thrill. Such possibilities, on any large scale, may seem a fantastic nightmare. But I firmly believe that, if the Nazis had won the last war, and if in the end they had acquired world supremacy, signed Bertrand Russell.
Bertrand Russell is in your time.
Hatton's comment here was, that ends the particular portion to which I earlier referred. However, this is an incredibly well-presented volume of information. I would go a bit further now and offer the introduction, which has an interesting heading in its own right. Heading, the proposed methods for the demoralization of mankind. The plan for a semi-moronic human robotic state, man's subjugation by a highly organized, soulless few, with an overlord to reduce mankind to a state of subhuman monstrosities as breeders of slaves. Hatton's comment, this is where you are now, readers. The final acts of the play are being directed to build a nation of robotic military waste and cause you to move into such plans to accomplish some kind of order in your out-of-control societies. In less than 3 pages, Bertrand Russell, in his book, The Impact of Science on Society, 1953 edition, details the methods to be pursued, easily capable of subjecting the mass of mankind to creatures such as were never dreamed of, even by the most violently insane. Scientific societies are as yet in their infancy. It may be worthwhile to spend a few moments in speculating as on the possible future developments of those that are oligarchies. There is an universal attempt to make all countries such and then bring them under the control of an overlord and a few associates. It is to be expected that advances in psychology will give governments much more control over individual mentality than they now have even in totalitarian countries. Not by psychologists, because properly understood, psychology deals with the soul of man, with spiritual concepts for the purpose of the individualization of the human into the immortal. That which is usually called psychology and so accepted is actually mental science and is today almost completely under the dominion of foreign mentality, foreign mentally unbalanced psychiatrists with which America is presently overrun, many of whom are in very high places. To obtain a clear perspective of the numerous plans long prepared for the subjugation of the mass, it is necessary to repeat Russell's quotation from Fichte. Quote, Fichte laid it down that, quote, education should aim at destroying free will, so that after pupils have left school, they should be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. But in his day, this was an unattainable idea. What he regarded as the best system in existence produced Karl Marx. In the future, such failures are not likely to occur where there is a dictatorship. This would be attained by the establishment of a world government, the dream of the United Nations. Quote, diet, injections, and inunctions, whatever those are, will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of belief that the authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers will become psychologically impossible, even if all are miserable. All will believe themselves happy.
Injunction. Put a J.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the meaning. They'll hand down orders.
To be attained by the various methods of brainwashing practiced by the communists and actively practiced in America in many forms, because the government will tell them that they're happy. A totalitarian government with a scientific bend might do things that would seem horrifying. Here is an admission by an accepted authority that the methods in mind would only seem horrifying. What will be the result when the men selected to carry out the scientific procedures have become fully hardened? And how will the reader know he, his children, or grandchildren will not be the victims? This is not science, but science profaned. The Nazis were more scientific than the present rulers of Russia and were more inclined towards the sort of atrocities that I have in mind. They were said, I do not know with what truth, to use prisoners in concentration camps as material for all kinds of experiments. I made the same mistake the first time I read it. Some involving death and after much pain. If they had survived, they would probably have soon taken to scientific breeding. Refer to quotation in the introduction. Any nation which adopts this practice will, within a generation, secure great military advantages. The system, one may surmise, will be something like this, except possibly in the governing aristocracy. This governing aristocracy would naturally be composed only of those in power. All the rest of humanity would be in worse condition than animals. Robots, morons, zombies, in human form, possibly retaining part of their thinking ability, but unable to fulfill God's greatest intent to be co-creators with Him. All but 5% of males and 30% of females will be expected, compelled, to spend the years from 18 to 40 in reproduction in order to secure adequate cannon fodder. As a rule, artificial insemination will be preferred to the natural method. The unsterilized, if they desire the pleasure of love, will have to seek them with sterilized partners. The author uses the word love. Such a thing is wholly unknown to the sterilized because when any form of sterilization is performed in a person during the age of potency, unless, Haton interjects, meaning unless sensing and reproductive glands are left intact. This was not typical of sterilization until recently. Unless it be necessary because of disease, he or she is no longer capable of actual lovemaking. Haton says, or interested. It would be the worst kind of carnality, bestiality between humans. Sires will be chosen for various qualities, some for muscles, others for brains. This was more or less general during the days of slavery. All so chosen will have to be healthy, and unless they are to be fathers of oligarchs, they will have to be of a submissive or docile disposition. This would be assured by medication in food and water preventing the development of the mind beyond a certain point. This is already being done extensively in America and no doubt in other countries. Refer to companion volume, Your Health and Sanity. I should have let Brent read this. It might sound different the second time through. Gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost a different species. The ruled or governed, enslaved, would revert to the prehistoric type of man, but be less human, more automatic, practically incapable of thinking for themselves. Haton's remark is, this actually is going right along with the severe brain training and responses tortured into the ones participating in monarch-type programs. To those accustomed to this system, the family as we know it would seem as queer as the tribal and totem organization of Australian Aborigines seem to us. The laboring classes, all but the very few, would have such long hours of work and so little to eat that their desires would hardly be beyond sleep and food. The upper class, being deprived of the softer pleasures both by the abolition of the family and by the supreme duty of devotion to the state, would acquire the mentality of ascetics. They would care only for power, and in pursuit of it would not shrink from cruelty.
And this you have a good example. It's not as interesting the second time you've heard it as it was the first. It'll get less interesting if you hear it 15 times. The mind becomes bored, and I know it's bad, and it will turn toward, well, what it does actually is turn away from pain. So you will turn it off. It isn't new information. You've all heard it before, and you want to turn it off. EJ just wants to get to a break so he doesn't have to read anymore. He's already been through this partially once today, and now he's having to repeat some of the pages of Bertrand Russell's book. This is how it got you. It was already laid forth in the protocols, and we're not going to make him read all of those today. But I don't know how to reach through to you. You've got to take action. You've got to do something against a system that is slowly, gradually, but just actually taking your very mental capacity until you are helpless. And I hear it from you ones now. You get tired, you get weary, and what the hell are we doing? Is it worth it? I don't care whether or not it's worth it. My mission is to tell you. And you accepted your mission as to help me get the word there. And then some of you will have a mission to march with Ron Jackson or in a militia or whatever you're guided to do. But you better hear this. This is the methods used to completely stagnate your brains. And it's continually poured on you out of that video box. Am I telling you not to watch it? Absolutely not, because in knowing, you really see and hear what is actually happening in spite of the garbage. And we're just going to have to suffer through it, and then we'll take a break. It was a long riding, and I apologize for that. But we must start building from this foundation. And Bertrand Russell was one of the propagators of your modern destruction, because he followed the writers of this superior society, this master race, and what to do to depopulate this world according to the elite. So we're just going to have to make it on through.
Tape's about ready to run out, so you might want to monitor it a little bit.
Well, we can take our break now.
Well, no.
Whatever you want.
Please, let me finish.
But cake sometimes helps.
I only got 3 pages to go. This is being amply demonstrated in all countries under subjection and where undeclared war is in progress. Power and possession alone are given consideration. If published reports in newspapers and magazines are based on truth, then many active steps are being taken in America to make many of these practices legally possible. By the practice of cruelty, men would become hardened, so that worse and worse tortures would be required to give them a thrill. To prevent these scientific horrors, democracy is necessary, but not sufficient. There must also be that kind of respect for the individual that inspired the doctrine of the rights of man. As an absolute theory, the doctrine cannot be accepted. As Bentham said, quote, rights of man, nonsense. Imprescriptible rights of man, nonsense on stilts. We must admit that there are gains to the community so great that for their sake, it becomes right to inflict injustice on an individual. This may happen. To take an obvious example, if a victorious enemy demands hostages as the price of not destroying a city. This is a specious argument. It is certain that no nation, however vicious, would commit overt acts if convinced that other nations not at war with it would condemn it and would have no commerce with it, and that all civilized nations would exact justice for the victims. No nation, however great, can long exist as an outcast from all other nations. An example of this is found in the story of Cain. End of print. The city authorities cannot be blamed in such circumstances. If they deliver the required number of hostages, in general, the rights of man must be subjected to the supreme consideration of the general welfare. But having admitted this, we must go on to assert and to assert emphatically that there are injuries which is hardly in the general interest to inflict on innocent individuals. About 590 is about.
Yeah, where are they?